This meeting.
All right.
Good evening. I call to order this July 9th, 2024 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I'm pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel as comfortable as possible, and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you please keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand and I will acknowledge you, and you may come forward to the podium. The City Clerk, Brenda Wheeler, must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. And please direct your comments to either myself, the City Council, or City staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin with the roll call of members.
Baker?
Here.
Paulson?
Here.
Anderson?
Yep.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Sandholm?
Here.
Letcher?
Here.
Heiko?
Here.
All members are present.
If you would please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number 4, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 5, I'm opening a public hearing to consider ordinance 2535, adopting an updated future land use map for tax lots 45 and 81 in Section 13, Township 18 North, Range 12, all east of the 6th Prime Meridian, Washington County, Nebraska, changing commercial use to industrial use. Mr. Byron.
Good evening, Council. Tonight, on the first part of the agenda, or some planning committee agenda items from last month. The first one is to do with the land use map. There's some other ones working with the properties out at the Long Mobile Home Park and also with the restaurant out there. Most of those have been tabled. What we're looking at tonight, though, is the future land use map. It should have been corrected earlier on. So lots 45 and 81 are basically the lots that are where the current Blair Marina is located. These two lots are already zoned for industrial use in the current zoning map. So again, like before, we're talking about two different issues, the current zoning map and the future land use map, which usually needs to be a certain zoned district before the first one, the current one can be changed. Anyway, the change to the future land use map corrected an earlier oversight that should have been changed years ago when the current zoning was changed. This change will not affect the current use of Blair Marina, and the Planning Commission recommended approval 4-3 with one abstention. So this is what everything looks like right now. These are the tax lots, the address of 600 that we're talking about right now. This is, again, is the current zoning map. As we were looking at changing, doing some possible changes for the mobile home park, and then it's been put on hold again, we noticed that the future land use map is incorrect. For that to have been, the current map to have been changed as it is to industrial, this should have been changed a long time ago. What we are asking tonight is just a little bookkeeping, a little housekeeping. We clean this up to make that conform more with the uses as they are now. There are two tax lots here, one sliver tax lot 81, and then it goes tax lot 45. The red does indicate that that's a commercial use, and it is commercial use, but this should have been corrected. Either it should have been left as commercial in the current land use zoning, or the future one should be corrected to coincide with the way it should be. Sounds confusing, and I probably not made it any easier, but again, this is the current zoning, but this is the current future land use map, and it's incompatible with what we should be doing. This we are asking to be corrected to industrial use, will not change the way things are working out for the Blair Marina. They're already basically non-conforming, and that's another issue we will be approaching with the next couple of months, trying to work out maybe an overlay system with that. But for the time being, we would like this to get corrected. Any questions for staff?
Why is it so important to change commercial to industrial? I mean,
well, we want to change this because before we can change any current use map, this has the current land use map has to correspond with the comprehensive plan's future land use map, because that's they've got to be so they work hand in hand. When and I don't know when this happens, probably sometime in the mid 2000s, the Blair Marina was changed possibly from commercial to all industrial on the current map. What they failed to do was change the current future land use map at that time. You really want them to work hand in hand, so when somebody starts looking at what they want to do in the future, let's say this is all industrial, maybe somewhere down the road they want to keep it industrial, and if the current land use map or the future land use map does not show that, then you can't change it. And that's part of the comprehensive plan, the future land use map.
This won't affect the marina going forward.
It will not. Right now, they are non-conforming as it is. But again, we are working with them and Mobile Home Park to correct some of those non-conformities, which we hope to approach later on this fall.
Phil, not to speak for you, but back in the day when you were training me on the Planning Commission many, many years ago, you told me this was like painting zoning on the map with a roller. You paint, you know, the different types of the things you want in this area of town, and zoning is like you're painting individual lots on the map with a tiny brush. Because you have to have the roller done, because the whole point is this area of town is for this type of use, where individual lots and areas next to streets tend to flip back and forth depending on, you know, what the owner wants to have done there.
Yeah. To follow up, look at this as a base code.
Yeah.
You need to get this down correctly first before you can change different colors.
Yeah. Yep. And sometimes I've described the future land use map as kind of the destination. So you get ready to go on your vacation, you have a destination hopefully in mind where you're going to be going. Therefore, you don't start going in the other direction, you know, if that's really where you're heading sometimes. So this, Jeff's exactly right. This probably should have been done a long time ago prior to it being zoned industrial in the first place. But it wasn't done at that point in time. We didn't notice it until recently. And so this is more just a correction than anything else. Won't affect their property at all because the current zoning already is industrial.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Brenda, do we have any comments in writing? Any comments from the public?
Lisa Kelly, 3348, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 3348 Adams Street, Blair. I have a question for the council and for staff. How does this affect the trailer park?
This particular agenda item does not affect the trailer park. All of those issues that were tabled for another meeting.
Okay. Yep. I wanted to make sure if that was part of the brush stroke or the roller. Okay. Thank you
for your question. Any other comments from the public? Having none, I will close the public hearing.
Do we need to receive and
there was nothing was on in writing, so it's closed.
I'll introduce ordinance number 2535. An ordinance adopting an updated future land use map for tax lots 45 and 81, section 13, township 18, North Branch 12, all 876 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, changing commercial use to industrial use, repealing all ordinance parts of ordinance complex herewith, providing when this ordinance will be in full force and effect, and providing for publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading of three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question for the council is, shall the statutory rule regarding requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance adopting an updated future land use map for tax lots 4, 5, and 81 in section 13, Township of Youth, North Branch 12, all of 6 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, changing commercial use to industrial use, repealing all ordinances or parts of ordinance conflict herewith, providing this ordinance shall be full force and effect, providing for publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move final passage of ordinance number 2535.
Second.
Question.
Now the question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2535 be passed and adopted? Please vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2535 duly adopted. Item number 6. I'll open a public hearing to consider ordinance 2536, amending the City of Blair Zoning Regulations Section 10 by adding Section 1008 SHC Special Mixed Use Agricultural Highway Commercial District, SHC, as an overlay district intended to accommodate unique land use and other distinctive characteristics of the East Central Area of Agricultural Highway Commercial District, which is ACH. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you again. The next three items for your consideration are all interrelated. They all have to do with adding zoning change, a zoning layer, and then conditional use permit. They are happening in this order because since we're talking about painting and cakes and everything else, what we're doing now is we're laying down a base, like a bottom part of some ideas which we'd like the council to consider. And then from there, we're building up. So we're doing this first layer of actually adding this to the zoning book. And then from there, we're going to take that layer, if it's approved, and it's to specific areas. And then finally, there's a conditional use permit related to this also. So we'll start out quickly with just one at a time. And that is the first one, number 6. Item 6. And the intent of this special mixed highway district is an overlay because there's some issues, there's some areas that we would like to see used for possibly different areas, not just for highway commercial. Right now there is a shortage of light industrial, such as warehouses, which is one of the things that we want to add to this overlay. Because the SA district can use it, but in conjunction with the already things that are already there works out pretty well, we're still short to go to areas. Again, in this case, we're looking for warehouse storage and warehouse uses and any industrial manufacturing to meet performance standards. But this is being applied as an exception, meaning that it's going to need a conditional use permit. So while it may be good in some parts of town in the highway commercial area, might not be in the other parts of town. That will be up to Planning Commission and City Council to decide.
Why do we call out the eastern edge?
Because at a certain part where we are, we're going to be going to our next step, there's an area that we want to actually add this overlay. Now this can be applied to any part of town, whether it's ACH, which means it can go on South Highway 30, it can go on East Highway 30.
That's my point, Jeff. I think that defining the eastern edge sort of is kind of arbitrary here.
Well, Jeff, if I might add,
yeah.
I think we did it this way partly because this really is accommodating some of the older uses that have been in highway commercial for a long period of time. When you take like South Highway 30 is a relatively newer area of highway commercial. We really haven't, you know, had uses that are there that just don't seem to be compatible with what's normally allowed in highway commercial.
Okay.
We did kind of something similar on some of the other mixed use areas.
Well, I'm familiar with the downtown stuff, right?
Where we specified north of the railroad tracks, you know, okay, for some of that industrial, because we didn't want to imply that this really could go anywhere. I mean, theoretically it could. You could always change the language if you wanted to, but the intent is it's in some of these older areas that are highway commercial that kind of have these, you know, buildings that would qualify, seem to have a good use for light industrial. So that's why we specified the eastern side.
Okay.
Again, if you want, you can make a recommendation to change that if you felt like it ought to be applicable other places as well. But they tend to be in the older, already kind of developed and allowed to develop the way that they were, as opposed to new highway commercial.
And actually, Councilman Anderson, you do make a good point. As we were drawing this up, we were really concentrating on the next couple steps. Mm-hmm. Ideally, you're right. Maybe this should be changed just to allow not specifically East Central, but all of ACH. Because again, it's a conditional use permit, which can be added some places, but not every place.
But if you wanted it everywhere, you should just add it as a conditional use to highway commercial.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is a zoning overlay for a reason. Okay. You only expect it to be in small little unique places.
Okay.
There is a similar existing ordinance already in section 107, which concerns the central business district, that area north of Washington Street, Front Street, which has the lumber yard, the gas station. Steerist, I believe they had a manufacturing area there. This is basically modeled after that business, central business district. They have these other options to anything in the ACH. This shows all the different parts of ACH in town, mostly along Highway 30 and Highway 30 down here. A little here on the way out of town, but again, most of it is older parts of town where we think would fit for the warehouse areas. And that's on just on that. So again, this is just, we're adding this to the zoning administration book as a first layer, saying that in ACH, there's this overlay that will allow, in this case specifically, warehouses, you know, some warehouse uses, and then any other exceptions that can meet performance standards. And the performance standards by our book are light, pollution, noise, vibration, anything like that. We have a complete section on that. So anybody wanting to do something like this can, if it's in the book, can ask for an overlay. And again, it's by conditional use permit, so that would be up to the Planning Commission and Council to say yes or no.
Sure seems real vague with East Central in it to me, but
it probably could have been a little bit better looking at that way, but it's really an overlay for all of the ACH area. And I probably got a little too fixated on, you know, the next step. My apologies.
I will make an amendment, but I, like I said, you can just tell that someone's going to come out and ask for this in South Highway 30, right? So it's
it's by conditional use permit. So,
yeah. But my question is, were you specifically targeting that area for a specific reason? I know you've got 1, 2, and 3 here. Mm-hmm. We know what 2 and 3 are.
Yep.
But I understand what you're saying, that you do, is there a reason why you wouldn't want to put it to all ACH?
Well, this actually will allow everything on all of ACH. This just puts down the base layer saying that this is available in ACH.
Jeff, I hate to interrupt, but that's not exactly true.
Okay.
But if, again, you gotta think about what you're doing here carefully, and everything has a purpose. If you wanted to allow anywhere in highway commercial to have these uses, then put them in as a conditional use in highway commercial. That's where they would go. Those accepted uses allow in highway commercial. This is an overlay district because the whole intention is you really don't want it everywhere, but you've got some unique areas that this would be beneficial for. But the whole point is it is very limited. You can limit exactly where. Now, could you ultimately put this in other places? Sure. And if you chose other places, then that maybe East Central language doesn't fit anymore. And so you modify it at that point in time, take it out. But at least when we started talking about this, it's in these older areas of highway commercial that had just kind of been allowed to develop the way that they were. No one's objecting, no one's arguing that these buildings, you know, shouldn't be there and couldn't be used, but they really don't fit with highway commercial either. And so the way you solve it is with this overlay district. Again, if it was gonna go everywhere, you should just add it as a conditional use option in highway commercial, and then it could be anywhere. And again, you're back to could be anywhere, doesn't necessarily go everywhere, so you still have those options. But the overlay district is even more specific, and that's why we added the East Central language. And so, again, I would differ that if somebody came and said, well, we've got some undeveloped land in highway commercial, I'd really like to do something industrial, that we would say, no, you really can't do that in that particular area, unless we modify some of the language in this section.
So you've looked at this specific area in town and felt that the overlay was, I don't want to use the word necessary, it would behoove the neighborhood?
Well, I would use the word necessary if okay. if it's appropriate for the use that's coming up to be able to be there, because it is an industrial use. And there's a very fine line between certain kinds of light industrial use. No one's talking heavy industry here, but there's certain kinds of light industrial, like warehousing. You know, what's the difference between a warehouse and a retail store that carries lots of items inside of it? It's kind of a warehouse, but maybe doesn't have many people that are coming to it on a regular basis. So it's kind of a fine line, but technically, when we first were approached about this particular building, which was up for sale or lease and, you know, available, and this particular business that's going to be the third item, you know, came and said, well, we're kind of interested in using this building. We looked at it, looked at the use, looked at those specifics on the impact that it would have in the area, and felt like, well, this is kind of a compatible use. The problem, though, is it's really an industrial use, not a commercial use. Well, the way you kind of solve that, if you're interested in doing that, would be with this overlay district. But again, you're not setting the standard that, oh, this could just go anywhere in highway commercial.
I think even in the subject line, when I read the agenda item, it says it's an overlay district intended to accommodate unique land right. use and other distinctive characteristics. I mean, this is specific to the east central portion.
Well, point to the map and show me east central.
Well, if you look at the ACH right there, you see central, but this is east central, so it's the only ACH that's right there in the middle, the little red. I don't have a pointer.
I'm looking at this, Phil, and I'm like, show me. It isn't super clear on where we're talking about.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I think we added it, and again, we've used it in some of the other overlay districts as well, to just kind of indicate the general location
right.
that we're talking about.
It's more of a description. It's a distinctive characteristic.
Yeah. And again, if you're not happy with that, we can easily take it out and take it out of the ordinance as well, because it was more descriptive than anything else. The key thing is going to be the second step coming up, which yeah. is where you actually place the overlay district mm-hmm. on a specific
I don't want to slow these gentlemen down who are wanting to open a business, right? I just want to make sure that we...
No, that's fine. And again, you could make the recommendation tonight, change the wording, and it's not essential. It was just there for descriptive purposes.
Any other questions for staff?
And let me jump the gun a little bit, but we do have another area of highway commercial that's not East Central where they're looking at something like this. And so we could be back anyway to change the language. because, again, sometimes you do have buildings that are in highway commercial and all of a sudden it's like, you know, this isn't a bad use for that particular building. I could easily see it, you know, needing an overlay district. So.
I'm okay with it coming back every time because I think that gives the council a lot of discretion and that's what's important.
More control.
Yep. Any other questions for staff? Brenda, do we have any comments in writing to file? None? Any comments from the public? Having none, I will close the public hearing.
I'll go ahead and introduce Ordinance 2536.
An ordinance to amend the City of Blair Municipal Code to amend the Blair Zoning Regulations, Section 10, adding Section 1008 CHC Special Mixed-Use Agricultural Highway Commercial District, CHC, as an overlay district intended to accommodate unique land use and other distinctive characteristics of the East Central Area, the Agricultural Highway Commercial District, ACH, repealing all orange parts of ordinance. Conflicts here with and providing this on shown before first in effect and providing for publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I'll move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second. Question.
The question for the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance to amend the Blair Municipal Code to amend the Blair Zoning regulation section 10, adding section 1008 SHC, special mixed-use agricultural highway commercial district, SHC, as an overlay district intended to accommodate unique land and other distinctive characteristics of the east central area of the agricultural highway commercial district, ACH repealing not ordinance parts of ordinance conflict herewith, and providing this ordinance should be full force in effect, providing for publication of this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I'll move final passage of ordinance 2536.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2536 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2536 duly adopted. Item number 7, I will open a public hearing to consider a rezone application, ordinance 2537, submitted by the City of Blair, 218 South 16th Street, Blair, Nebraska, for a special mixed-use agricultural highway commercial district, SHC, an overlay on all lots north of Grant Street and south of Washington Street between 13th Street and both sides of 9th Street, all in the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska. Tell me you have a map.
I do.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for indulging us. So now that the ordinance has been approved, it's time to actually put that in action. So your next option would be to put an overlay into practice on this map right here, which is south of Washington Street, this half south of Washington, north side of Grant Street, east of 13th Street, and then 9th Street, but also including the Family Saver area right now. So what this overlay district does, it allows all this area right here to be eligible for a conditional use permit to add something that is now is a conditional use permit, the other conditional use permit exceptions in ACH. So right now we've got different construction yards, gas station, more warehousing, more auto park places where basically warehouses and also retail stores. The commission did recommend this one, approval of 8-0. As we get more into it, you'll see this is what Lincoln Street looks like looking west from about 10th Street. And you can see the character of the land right here. Then turn around the other way, looking to the west there, and then east here. This shows the area that's already here. We think that this would be a perfect place for an overlay, not just because we have somebody to question it, because of the shortage of areas for like warehouses in the City of Blair. Again, it's by condition permit only. By agreeing to this overlay unit, this special use for warehouses and such is only available to the overlay district. Now, somebody can come in with some other uses in ACH because it's already ACH, as long as they're already permitted. This just allows the special warehouse area in this certain footprint. I'll go back to the map. Again, showing we have Donald's gas wash. We have mobile homes that are slowly being replaced, Casey's, other areas that are very similar to the requested use.
And Jeff, this is not both sides of 13th Street.
This is not. This is the east side of 13th Street, north side of 9th Street, south side of Washington. You have the steel mill here. You have auto parts, I believe, right there. And then again, we have some other areas down there that are just basically commercial, but they look to be somewhat industrial.
East Central.
This is definitely Central and not East.
I would call this East Central.
East is by the bridge.
Hey, I'm Central.
I'm just here to answer questions.
Does this feel like East Central to you?
Depends on where you're starting.
I feel like this is Central. That's East Central.
Thank you, Jeff.
Do me whatever you want.
Do you have any other questions for staff? Brenda, do we have any comments in writing?
None.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from the public? Having none, I will close the public hearing.
I'll introduce ordinance number 2537.
An ordinance rezoning all lots north of Branch Street and south of Washington Street between 13th Street and both sides of 9th Street, all in the city of Blair, West County, Nebraska, adding an overlay for a special mixed-use agricultural highway commercial district, SHC, fulfilling all orange parts of orange conflict here with the providing that the orange should be full for its consent, and ordinance to be published in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote. James, you have to say it louder.
Members present voting aye. I've ordinance rezoning all lots north of Grant Street and south of Washington Street between 13th Street and both sides of 9th Street, all in the city of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, adding an overlay for a special mixed-use agricultural highway commercial district, repealing all orange parts of orange conflict herewith, and providing this motion to be full force in effect and ordinance going to be published in pamphlet form.
I move for final passage of ordinance number 2537.
Second.
Question.
The question for the council is, shall ordinance number 2537 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2537 duly adopted. Item number 8. I'll open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit submitted by Robert Busboom, 1129 Skyline Drive, Blair, Nebraska, to allow a warehouse with inside packaging of an all-natural and organic humate and enzyme mixture for agricultural use on lots 4, 5, and 6 in Block 86 in the 4th addition to the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 202 South 10th Street for 10 years. Humate is described as a natural soil additive and contributes to healthier plants and better soil. It is not volatile. Mr. Fireman.
Thank you. And I did learn a new word and a new use for humate. This conditional use permit now is the final part. Now that we've got the other two tools ready for doing this in the zoning administrator or zoning handbook, this is a chance to actually put it to use if you want. The location here is in the east central or maybe central part of the city. The location is located at 202 South 10th Street, one block south of Washington Street. Mr. Busboom does not own the property, but currently has an offer to purchase that depending on the outcome of this conditional use permit. Zoning district is ACH Highway Commercial. It does now have an overlay which allows for wholesale storage and warehouse uses as an exception. Being an exception, it does require the conditions permit. As mentioned before, humate is a non-volatile. Staff does recommend a stipulation that the CEP is granted on the condition of the purchase of the building by Mr. Busboom. So if he decides not to purchase this, then this probably should not be go forward because conditions permits run with the land. And this would die right. If he chooses not to purchase the building and go forward to CUP, next person will have to start all over. And the Planning Commission did recommend approval 7-0 with one abstention because of conflict. So here is the ACH area. This is the particular lot right here. And again, we now have an overlay. This shows it without the zoning layer to it. Washington Street, South 10th Street, Lincoln. Again, Washington, South 10th Street, Lincoln in this area, Grant here. This is the actual building itself. It is being, I believe it's being used now by Fastwire, but it is soon to be empty. With that, any questions for the conditional use permit application?
What is specifically humate? I mean, is it dry powder? Is it wet? Is it smell? Is the neighbor going to complain if it spills in the parking lot?
I have been told no, but I will let the applicant explain that a little bit better. He's more the subject matter expert on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
Because this is a warehouse, but sort of some light industrial part, meaning they may will do some packaging in there, we think this does fit well with that area. As we've seen, there's areas with the auto parts and some other areas that are not really industrial, but with the lack of warehouses and light industrial stuff, this might be a good fit.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to come forward?
Sure. Robert Busboom, BUSBOOM, 1129 Skyline Drive, Blair, Nebraska. But we've used both actually a liquid and a powder form of a humane. Both of them are 100% organic products.
So is what the sewer plant puts out, but.
Yeah, these actually come out of the ground already. So there is a slight odor to it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's nothing, but I've received no complaints from my current neighbors that we have. The product is mixed and bottled all inside. I have minimal storage outside. It's just some empty totes that end up outside. But 99% of everything I do is contained with inside the building.
Is this like a Miracle-Gro product or something, like a humus that you, soil additive?
It can be used for that. Our primary production purposes is for hog manure treatment. Helps take the odor out of hog manure and break down the solids. And then we also have some pond products also, but it's all the same basic enzymes and everything.
Any other questions for the applicant? Thank you.
Thank you.
Brenda, do we have any comments in writing? Thank you. Any comments from the public? Having none, I will close public hearing.
I'll make a motion to approve the conditional use permit submitted by Robert Busboom, 1129 Skyline Drive, Blair, Nebraska, for 10 years.
With stipulation? Wasn't there a stipulation?
Staff did recommend the stipulation that if the building was not purchased, that the CUP would not move forward.
Yes.
With the stipulation that if the building is not purchased by Mr. Busboom, that the CUP will not be enforced.
Perfect.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the conditional use permit submitted by Robert Busboom with the stipulation that if it does not pass and it is not purchased, it will not follow the property. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 9. Consideration of Ordinance 2538, amending the Municipal Code, Chapter 6, Article 102, amending the maximum allowable number of adult dogs or cats per residential unit. Ms. Ferrari.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. Before you tonight is a change to our Municipal Code. If you recall, about a month ago, a community member came forward and requested that we review how many animals we allow in the home. Currently, our code reads that you can have up to 4, but it's a combination of dogs and cats. So you cannot have 4 dogs, you can't have 4 cats. You can have 3 dogs and 1 cat, 2 and 2, or 3 and 1 in the opposite direction. I did take the opportunity to review other municipal codes across the state, and I found that most feel that it is appropriate to allow 4 dogs, 4 cats, any combination of the nature, and not limit 3 dogs, but still allow 4 animals. And so before you tonight is the offer of amending our municipal code to reflect that as well. So individuals could have 4 dogs, 4 cats, any combination, but a hard cap still at 4.
Thank you. Any questions for staff?
Katie, what other municipalities had 4? Because I looked at Omaha and they have 3 without a special permit, a fence, and an inspection.
That is true. Omaha does have that. Beatrice allows 5. Columbus allowed 4. Norfolk allowed 4. Is my
pavilion? Some of them have stipulations for rescue dogs.
Pavilion allowed 4. Pavilion also had special rules about it allowed ferrets as 4. I don't know if that we need to get that far in the rabbit hole, but
only in the East Central District.
But really, other than Omaha, most are allowing 4 or even 5. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public?
You're shaking your head already.
Wonderful.
Okay, Darrell Bolzer, B-O-E-S-I-G-E-R, 2246 Crestwood Drive. This is probably a silly question, but what if you have a pig or some other animal? Does that count part of the four or not?
No, that's under a different chapter, correct?
Yeah, that's a different section.
But that's a good question.
Only with dogs and cats.
Actually, I had someone from on the Herman board ask me, they had a request for three dogs and a goat once, and they had to deny it because a goat was considered livestock. So right. It was something to consider, but I actually called Brenda earlier today, and she said, oh, that's in another chapter. So we've covered it, but this is different. This is just for domestic dogs and cats per residential unit. All right, police committee, did they meet?
No? We did. Yes. We met on it. Katie informed us of her research, and we agree. We think, you know, four critters of either a cat or a dog, no matter the total, is perfectly okay.
All right.
So I'll introduce 2538.
An ordinance amending the Blair Municipal Code, Chapter 6, Article 1, Section 6-102, amending the maximum allowable number of adult dogs or cats per residential unit. Appeal not worth parts of the ordinance in conflict herewith, for finding this ordinance to be a full force of effect, and providing for publication this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second. Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye. An ordinance amending the Blair Municipal Code, Chapter 6, Article 1, Section 6-102, amending the maximum allowable number of adults, dogs, or cats per residential unit within not worth parts of one's conflict herewith, and providing this ordinance to be full force of effect, providing for publication this ordinance in pamphlet form.
I move final passage of ordinance number 2538.
Second. Question.
The question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2538 be passed and adopted? Please register your vote. And just for everyone's general knowledge, it seems like we fast-track some of these things and we're always just suspending the 3 days of reading. That's not necessarily a common thing. If we had anyone that was coming up from the public when I asked for public comment and they were really questioning it, we would waive that. We would just say, nope, we're going to read it on another day. But we had a concerned citizen a couple of meetings ago ask, why are you just doing that every time? Yes, it's written on our computer. Yes, I'm reading that, but that's not what we do. It's not common practice. It just happens to be if nobody has an issue with it, and our staff has done a very good job of preparing, then we don't see it's necessary. Do we have a vote?
All council members present voting.
I declare ordinance number 2538 duly adopted. Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that. Just a couple things to report to you. This coming Friday is the last regular meeting of the Housing Advisory Committee. So again, scheduled for 11:30 a.m. meeting right here in this room. So excited to see that come to kind of a conclusion. What the Housing Advisory Committee is doing right now is finalizing the recommendations that they're going to be making first to the Planning Commission, and then they'll talk to the LD 840 Advisory Committee about those recommendations, since many of them are going through the LD 840 Advisory process through LD 840, and then ultimately they'll be bringing those ideas and recommendations to you next month. So looking forward to having that project done, and then moving forward with kind of enticing developers to potentially come and look at Blair. July 30th, coming up, is the next fifth Tuesday meeting. We also have scheduled it for our annual budget workshop. And so just want to make sure all of you are, again, aware of that fact. The public is invited to come. It is our annual budget workshop. We'll be discussing kind of the preliminary budget and some of those numbers. Again, just to stress to you, now is the time then for you to be making recommendations that you may have for suggested items for the budget.
Is that a 6 o'clock or a 7 o'clock?
It's 6 o'clock. Yeah, and unlike some previous years, we're not going to be having any food available that night during the meeting. Yeah. So We may be having some earlier. We'll let you know that. But again, the meeting starts at 6 o'clock. So budget workshop starts at 6. Lastly, just wanted to make a few comments regarding the events from last week and the water testing issue that we had. I think most of you are aware of the details of when it happened on Monday, just part of our regular routine testing that takes place around town. It just so happened, though, that the location that they were testing at that night did end up testing positive on Monday. The standard procedure then that comes from the state of Nebraska is that you would retest the following day. So they did that on Tuesday. Results came out on Wednesday. And with a second failed test or a positive E. coli test, that's when the state requires us automatically for the entire water system to go into the water boil notice. We have 24 hours to get the word out to the public. Some of that they want, especially in the area that they call the impacted area, they would like that to be hand-delivered flyers. It's not required that everybody in your system get hand-delivered flyers. Just understand that as the towns get larger and larger, it gets more and more complicated and almost impossible to get hand-delivered notices within 24 hours. So as soon as we found out about that notice, we began to notify other people. I've got some statements here that that CJ had put together from the state, so I'm going to read that in just a minute. But we did the very best that we could that day to get word out to people. I understand the frustration that some people had in not getting notified, and all of you, and I apologize to you for not letting you know quicker. I happened to be out of town at the time when all of this was happening, was still in the process myself of trying to collect information. I made the mistake of deciding I wanted to get more information before I shared with you that there was a problem. Frankly, that was a bad choice on my part. I should have just let you know that we did have the two positive tests, that we are going into a boil order, and more details will be coming as soon as we can collect all those. So at least you would have known. Again, word began to get out sooner, and several of you reached out to me before we could officially let you know what was going on. And then it did take us, staff-wise, several hours to get all the information put together, the press release out, and then finally information on the city's website. I know some citizens reached out to me through both Brenda and then directly, and really wanted to know, well, how come the news media knew before we knew? Well, in our opinion, that's one of the best ways to get information out, is to use the news media and to notify them. So it's not that the news media found out something we were trying to hide. They found out because we told them, and we asked them to let everybody else know, and that's one of the best ways to get the word out for people. By approximately midnight that night, so within 5-6 hours of event of us finding out about the event, information was up on the city's website. So again, apologize for those who felt like we were somewhat tardy. We went through the process, went through the details of testing each and every day, and then finally were able to have that that boil order suspended late on Saturday. Then Monday, just yesterday, individuals from NDEE did come to town, met with CJ, met with Mark Hodson and Terry Vandery, and spent a lot of time just kind of talking about our system, doing some touring around town, looking things over both at the water treatment plant as well as in the area that it was impacted. So I'm going to read a little bit from the email that that CJ had sent to me. He says that NDEE was out today. He, Terry, and Mark spent over an hour talking with them about the events of what had happened and what actions were taken by the city. NDEE and Public Works staff felt like it was an isolated incident that occurred near Highway 75 and County Road P35 intersection, primarily due to the 12-inch water main that runs down Highway 75. If you recall, that water main, and it's large, a 12-inch water main is really large. Most of our standard mains that go in are 8 inches or even 6 inches. So a 12-inch main is an exceptionally large water main, but it was installed primarily because of the water usage that OPPD was drawing on when the nuclear plant was open. Since that plant is closed, obviously the volume of water that's in that line, but it's only tapped off by a few residential houses and a few smaller subdivisions that are in along Highway 75 there, just the water consumption that comes out of that line is not sufficient to keep that line fresh, if you will. So they go on and talk about because of the low water consumption, Their recommendation to us is that we would increase flushing out of the tail end of that line down by OPPD. Now again, long term, there may be opportunities for the city of Blair to cooperate with the NRD and the rural water system to have that tied into that particular line. If we're able to get some industry along Highway 75, say along the ARPS property, or as you head down towards that South Cargill entrance, then obviously their usage out of that line will help with that to keep that line fresh. But right now, we just need to do a better job of keeping that fresh. One of the things that NDEE did say was that the chlorine residuals in the area are up to what their recommendations are, and the water leaving the plant was up to their recommendations as well. So it never was a situation where the flooding was causing any problems for us. It was a challenge for us. Obviously, whenever we have the flooding, as you are all aware, the turbidity just increases. That's a challenge for our public works employees. Those at the water treatment plant have to end up flushing the filters much more often, so it's a challenge for them to keep that going. But that at no time was water exiting the water treatment plant that had any kind of impurities in it or any kind of problems. I will say one other thing regarding the notifications. NDEE themselves have acknowledged and apologized for some of the miscommunication that they had participated in because of that. As you are aware, July 3rd is the day before July 4th. They had a lot of employees going on vacation as well, so they were hurrying to try to get out information as quickly as possible. They wanted to help us get the word out, and so they on their own contacted several of the other communities and other water systems that buy water from the city of Blair and notified them prior to us having a chance to notify others. And then those other water systems did an excellent job of doing what they should have done, and that is notify all of their customers, and oftentimes that was on social media. You're probably aware as well that we really don't have anybody on staff whose primary job is communications. It's one of those things that many of us kind of try to do as much as we can when we have time. Several of our staff were out of town right before the holiday. Some had holiday events with family. They were tied up with those for several hours before they could get away to help post information online or get it through social media. So again, a variety of reasons why we were delayed in getting that word out, but it was not intentional by any means. One of the things we then strived to do over the coming days was to always put daily updates both on the city's website as well as out through social media. So hopefully, the citizens realized that there was no intention whatsoever of us trying to hide anything from anyone. We learned some good lessons, though, from this. I think we'll try to have some of this communication kind of prepackaged and ready to go next time so that we're all on board and ready to notify the citizens if we have this kind of challenge. I'm also going to be talking with our public works staff about what to do when we get the very first failed test, because there really wasn't much done, and I wasn't even notified after the failure first on Monday. There probably were some things that we should have done or could have done. I would have known the location of where it was at and suspected right away that large main on Highway 75 might have been the culprit. We probably would have flushed much more on Tuesday prior to taking that second test, and hopefully would have passed that second test. And from the state's concern, as long as you pass that second test, no harm, no foul, and life goes on. So we've learned some good lessons. So I'd love to answer any questions that any of you have. There may be some citizens here as well. I feel very comfortable allowing them to get up and make any comments or statements if they have any questions they have as well. Again, nothing to hide here from the staff's perspective.
Phil, is flushing really our only option, just dumping water out? I mean, or is there any sort of secondary chlorine injection points that we can do, or?
Good point. We probably could do technically some of those kinds of things. Frankly, the cost involved in doing that is probably not worth it.
With
the volume of water that we made to allow a main of that size to run for 35-40 minutes once a week is not a problem.
Okay. When's the last time that Blair had a boil notice?
Brandon and I was
1998.
Okay, yeah. So it's been quite a long time. There have been some violations that have caused us to have to do some notices that got mailed out to all of our water customers.
But not a boil
since 1998. Any other questions? Again, otherwise I'll open it up to any citizens that may have some questions.
My name is Dennis Kerbold, H-E-R-B-O-L-D. of 1504 Wilbur Street here in Blair. My concern about the water problem is this. I didn't get any kind of notice until Friday. That was a notice on my door. The only other notice I got was somebody who lived in Tacoma. And I find that lacking. I called here and I talked to him. I can't remember what I talked to him today. But the suggestion came up that there's some type of text that could go out, you know, that you could sign up for on the website, Blair's website, that you would get a text when there was some type of problem, whether it was the water or, you know, whatever it happened to be. But we need something besides nothing. That means if the test was done on Monday, 5 days before a notice hit my door.
What would your preferred method of notification be? That's a question I had, like, as we, you know, we do...
Well, text would be wonderful. I don't do Facebook. Well, to me, it's a waste of time.
We do have everybody's email address. I mentioned that to Phil because you had to sign up to pay your water bill online.
I agree.
Would email be sufficient? You know,
email would be fine. Okay. Email, text, okay. You know, something besides nothing. Like I said, it was 5 days from the time they took that first negative test to the time I, you know, when I have to hear from another city, that means my city is failing.
When did we send it out to, because it was on the news, it was on.
Well, you have to watch the news to get that message.
The notice wasn't even required until Wednesday. So it was Wednesday afternoon when I first heard that we had to issue a boil order.
Right.
So nothing would have gone out until Wednesday anyway. The first failure is not unique. You know, sometimes that happens. That's why the state says take another test the next day, you know, see what the situation is. Once that second test fails, that's when everything kicks in.
My other question is, you said you were unavailable. What day it was?
I was out of town.
Okay,
the whole
you're
time.
Out of town. Who takes his place when he's out of town? And why didn't they pick up his job? I mean, I'm not here to be mean or anything. You know, you understand what I'm saying. It's like, you know, being a conductor on a train. You know, he goes on vacation. Does the train stop? No, you have somebody to take his place, you know.
Good question.
Like I said, I'm not trying to be mean. It's not directly at you personally, so don't take it that way. You know, I worked for a long time before I got to be a man of nature. But, you know, what would have happened? What would you guys be saying if I had gotten sick because I didn't know about a boil order? Would you guys be paying my hospital bills? Would the city be paying them? Or would I have to sue the city because they didn't bother to notify me?
All good questions.
I was 300 miles away, mm-hmm. and I found out about it on the news out there.
You know.
So, I mean, I found out Wednesday night.
That's still almost 3 days.
Yeah, but you have to remember.
No, we didn't have to notice until Wednesday.
Right, Mr. Herbert.
That's my point.
The test was taken on Monday and nobody knew. It's like a blood test. They take your blood, but you don't find out the results immediately.
Right.
So the first negative test was found out on Tuesday. The state doesn't require the notification. So then other samples got taken Tuesday. And then it was like 3:30 on Wednesday when we got the result from the state. So really, I mean, a notification went out before midnight Wednesday night. You know, we did the best we could with what we had, but it is something that we do need to change and look into investment and communication.
Almost everybody gets a text or an email.
Right.
But how do we let the elderly know? They don't do text messages. I mean, there's no one clear, one-size-fits-all solution. But I've heard from other people saying we need to have a better way of doing it. It was on the Blair website, but not everybody goes to the Blair website. I saw it on the news. I had seen it through other emails and stuff, but that's the thing, is there's no one-size-fits-all solution to take care of everybody, because some people don't do, I don't do text, he still has a flip phone or something, you know, so.
But good questions.
Very good.
I'm just bringing up concerns that I had personally, you know. But
I think you speak for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm one of those elderly people. And, you know, I'm just fortunate enough that I can still get around and do what I do. But, and I've never even done this before, so.
We have them every other Tuesday. You're welcome to come back. Eventually, if you come enough, they put you on a board.
You may not like that. Because I worked at Colorado Rockin'.
Well, thank you, Mr. Verbal. We appreciate
thank you.
It. Any other comments from the public?
Amy Cothran, 229 North 23rd Street, Cothran. A little out of order, but I got it. thank you, Phil. I really appreciate you opening the floor and investigating on how we can do this better. I know that the school system has a really great way to do it. It's not just email. It's not just phone call. I mean, they've got the phone system that goes out. Maybe we need to look into something like that for those elderly that has a flip phone. It's not just an automatic. You guys got, some of you guys, you know, maybe, I don't know if any of you guys kids in school. But anyway, they call an automated system. And the automated system tells you whatever it is they need to tell you. You get a text saying check your email, then you get an email. So you get it three different ways immediately. Just thank you and happy birthday, Mindy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Any other comments from the public?
Hi, Lisa Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, 3348 Adams Street, Blair, Nebraska. Just kind of a suggestion, and again, given the circumstances, we all made it through. A couple people that I know of, my concerns are not just the elderly, yes, there are quite a few. I prefer text messages because I don't have the time to sit and look at my emails all the time. My concern are like housing areas. There were some, we actually know of a few that really got sick. And that would be because they were not aware that they were affected or that they could have been affected. The information that they received was not from like their landlord or anyone within their facility. So they were assuming that it was out in the country. It did not apply to them in their apartment building. So, yes, as Ms. Cochran mentioned, multiple ways. And I'm wondering, because we do have such a high population of senior citizens, that's not, you know, a lot of, I don't know, Blair doesn't have a neighborhood watch or any kind of program like that, but maybe a way to solicit contact information from people. I know it was a big job to get the paper notices out, but social systems that might be able to help with that. In particular, those that don't really have like a nursing home, they're not in a nursing home, they're in an apartment building, their landlord didn't think to tell the people not to use their water. So it may be something to think about in the future, some kind of a social network to get that information. I know we sign up for our bills, but honestly, I don't use that email. I get spammed too much on that. So something to think about if there were some kind of an outreach to kind of gather more resources to get out there, not just staff. But great job.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Connie Green, 1616 Adams Street, Blair. I received the notice, actually, the first thing I noticed with the water concerns was something out of Kennard, and then I saw where somebody asked, oh, does this include Blair, because Blair system feeds Kennard, and somebody else said yes. Then I saw where the Blair Police Department posted that there was the concern, and so that's when I considered that an official notice, because as a news person, I have to get an official notice before I start doing something with it. So I considered that an official one. I went ahead and put it on our air for Blair Radio and sent it to West Point's radio station because they're statewide. I, and I'm a reporter for them as well. And because I know other news directors, and I've set this up for nonprofits, if there's something that needs to go out, I have a like a blanket email that I send to all the news directors in the metro area. So I know it went out to at least the radio, the TV stations. And then as updates came, and then Phil sent an official thing, and I copied and put that on there and did updates as was required, because I consider my job as part of public safety. I have to let people know if something's wrong. I did have a little bit of consternation because when the all clear was given, I copied and pasted what Phil sent and put it on Facebook page, and Facebook decided that I was revealing too much about another agency and took it off.
Oh no.
So I have filed a protest, and I'm going to rattle some cages of some, because that's public safety. It's just like, are they going to take off a tornado warning because I attribute it to the National Weather Service? So those were some things that, as a professional, somebody sends me something and it's public, I send it to everybody. I have sent even stuff to what's considered competitors, even though when it's public safety, there's no competitors. We're all in it together. But I thought that given the circumstances, it went pretty well getting it out there, because in the past, when I've gotten a notice, it's usually like a month later and it's posted on the bulletin board in the laundry room of my apartment complex. So I was relieved that this was out there as quick as it was.
Well, we appreciate your efforts in notifying the public.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. And Phil, thanks for letting us know that the state helped us out with our communication path and our timing, right? And I sat here and thought about that all weekend. How do you create a lone survivor that has access to your city website and our social media account and still accommodate two-factor authentication? And I can't figure out how to do it. Yeah. Unless you literally have a second phone that you hand to the lone survivor that stays in town. Otherwise, you're going to open yourself up to being able to be hacked all the time. Because somebody has to, when you're logging into our Facebook account for Blair, I expect that you have two-factor authentication set up. So that way, when we put out an official notice about 50 cats allowed, it's a fake news and Connie doesn't pick it up, right? So it's very hard to have that lone survivor situation and maintain two-factor. So, I mean, but I do like us using our emails, you know, set up. We can get that set up. I do like Katie, you know, having pre-press release for resignations and water situations or tornadoes or whatever, so that way we just cut and paste and change the name and, but, you know.
And I think some of the systems that we actually already have, we could do more with. Yeah. Part of it is, again, just having the time to investigate those things and work on them and understand how they work. Through the website that we've got right now, you can go in and register to get certain notices. I know many people have done that so that they get notices about when agendas are posted for these meetings and when planning commission things come out. But we can have an emergency contact one as well that would be great, that people could go ahead and sign up. You can say whether you want it by email or text or all of the above, you know. So, but I think we can learn to do a better job with those kinds of systems. We probably could use the front desk feature that we've got right now for our current utility billing system to be able to notify all those utility billers with whatever, you know, contact is. I'm going to put some additional monies in the budget this year for something else down the road too, if we find out that none of these systems are what we want, or we want to add something like voice messaging, like what was mentioned. There are systems out there that can do that as well. You know.
Yeah, but that's all voluntary, right? So at least we have the email addresses from the water bill, but in the rush to make sure that Aaron or Katie or CJ or anybody can do it, don't forget about the security, because the worst thing of getting delayed great information is getting fake news quick.
Yes.
Because that would blow up bad.
Yes, that would be very bad. But, you know, there's always lessons to be learned. We're learning these. You know, we want to get it right and we want to do better. And so we'll strive to continue to do that. So, any other questions? Thank you.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Good job, James.
Second.
All right.
We're running correct.
We have a motion to second to adjourn the meeting. Please register your vote.
Council members present voting aye.
Meeting adjourned.